The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein-powered chicken bites.
Morning to Alan Quinlan. How are you?
I'm good all now, and yourself?
All good. That news about Scott Faraday getting the nod ahead of Ryan Baird, is that something that surprises you? I guess experience is a necessary facet when you're going to England, a place that Leinster haven't got an amazing record of in Heineken Cup quarterfinals and knockout games.
No, it doesn't surprise me. I think Faraday is your ideal candidate going playing a game like this, coming up against Johnny Hill in the second or for them, and Johnny Gray, two very experienced and high, you know, very physical players for Exeter. I think it's that forward battle that probably would dictate this decision to bring Scott Faraday in for his experience. Obviously, Ryan Baird is a super athlete and a brilliant player, but it's just that experience and know-how from Faraday. He's very good in those tight exchanges. He stops the momentum and flow of the opposition, gets into places, frustrates them, gets his hands on the ball, scrags players, all that kind of stuff. And he's very, very good at that. And he's an intelligence around what he's trying to do in those close encounters, particularly against a team like Exeter. I think it's a good call, and it's the right call to bring him back in there.
How do Exeter get at Leinster tomorrow, Alan? Like, they obviously came quite close in that meeting in 2017, and it's been a while since, but it seems that they've got a hell of a lot better since then even. So this is going to be a massive challenge for Leinster.
Yeah, and you go back a couple of weeks ago to Munster Leinster, where everybody was kind of predicting and saying that Munster would possibly win the game, go very close. I always thought before that game, when you think about Leinster, and there's no rocket science to it, if Leinster get their flow and the continuity going, they're really good at keeping the ball, the control of tempo and the pace, and they just wear teams down. I think if you go back to that game in 2017, when they played them in the pool stages, it was close to 30, 35 phases. I think Jack Conan scored a try eventually for Leinster. So Leinster can do it a number of different ways. You know, they're strong mentally, physically. They have a ruthless edge to them. And they're a team that, I suppose, bar Saracens, nobody has, you know, got close to bullying them or physically out-muscling them in the last number of years in their successful run. So you look at the Exeter team and you think, this is a team that probably can do that. And if they're to have any chance in the game, you know, they do the simple things so well. They're very direct. Their set piece is good. And, you know, you analyse Exeter and they just try to out-muscle teams, and they're very, very good up front and a tight-knit unit. So if they're to disturb Leinster or stop Leinster, obviously they've got to hold on to the ball themselves and be really physical with them up front, because I think that's where that template and foundation. I don't think Exeter's backline is as good as Leinster's. They don't have any superstars. Joe Simmons is their captain at fly half. He's a very good player, but he's not an international quality player. I don't think he's, you know, he's probably close enough to be in there and a very solid player. I'm not saying he's a bad player, but they've workhorses throughout the team. And, you know, Henry Slade, probably he's the one with the silky skills at 13 if he gets enough of a ball. But they rely on being very, very direct, forward orientated, and if they're to unsettle Leinster, it's going to happen up front, and that's where they've got to do it.
Andy Friend was on the show with us yesterday, and he said that you can't win an arm wrestle when your opponent has bigger arms, and that was to do with the power that maybe Connacht came up against last weekend in the Challenge Cup, and that he feels that Irish provinces come up against when they play Premiership and top 14 teams. Are Leinster an exception to that? That they don't necessarily.
They are an exception. They are an exception to that, and they've proven that over a number of years that, you know, it's their collective cohesion up front. And just look at the front row. You know, Ronan Keller is now an international, has big moments around the field. He's a very physical player. He's very, very skillful. Keane Healy, Tadhg Furlong, top-class international players who I've been up against, you know, they've been up against the best in their careers. So they won't be daunted or physically step away from that challenge that they're going to get. They'll know about it. And they'll kind of revel in that that opportunity to show their quality. Fardy and Toner in the second row, loads of experience there and quality. And then that back row looks very, very balanced. Rhys Ruddock is a very powerful physical player. His work rate is through the roof. He was brilliant the last time they played against Munster. Jack Conan has found form at the right time. And Josh van der Fleer is an international as well. So what Andy Friend says is right. You know, sometimes you do get overpowered. But Leinster, the exception of the Irish provinces. I think Munster are probably the next one, because I think, they went to Exeter 2 years ago and they got a draw over there. I think it was a draw that game. And they were brilliant. They physically tore into Exeter up front and stopped them in horrendous conditions. And they were capable of doing that. But Leinster, such a tight-knit unit, and that front row offers so much around the field that they can do that against the best teams. And that's why they're one of the favourites for this Champions Cup.
Brian O'Driscoll was on with us last night, Quinny, and he was talking about reflecting on Munster's last couple of weeks and what's gone wrong for them and maybe that they're not a million miles off. But he was specifically talking about the tight five as the Achilles heel. And I'm just interested now, listening to you, the straight, and maybe you haven't been thinking that deeply about it, but your response to Leinster's strength was to name check the tight five was your first comment there. Is that the standout difference between Leinster and Munster at the minute?
I think it sounds kind of boring that you're picking players up front and props and hookers that kind of dictate the way the game goes. But my I love to play the game, an open game, run around, pass the ball, and not have a kind of a forward orientated game. I enjoy the physical exchanges, but this will never change, Adrian. If you don't have a front eight of players who set the foundation for you and get your set piece scrum line out right, you're going to struggle no matter what kind of a back line you have. The game has changed in the last number of years, where traditionally front row players and second rows, you kind of keep away from the ball in open play. But now, with the skill sets of that tight five, I think, and the need to probably go into, high number of phases when you're in attack. Everybody needs to improve their skills and have improved their skills. And it's the ball playing ability of Furlong and Kelleher and Healy and their ability to give a pass at the right time, to offload, not just to tuck the ball under the arm and try and run out over people. Of course, they're very important in doing that when defences are set and there's a strong defence against you. But the game has changed a lot now, and there's a huge shift in emphasis on, the skills of that tight five and what they can do, how they can catch
Given that, Alan, and given some of the attributes that you've mentioned in relation to the Leinster players, how far off are that Munster group? And maybe even more so, are the players there some of the players that have come off the bench and that, do they have the playing staff in that tight five to match up to Leinster?
On a given day, if they get it right, yes, they have. But look, at the top level of finals, which is proved 2 weeks ago, and the quarterfinal last week, you look at Marchand and Fáil Mhuine, what they did last week, and Cyril Boyd, they're all international players. It's what they're doing around the field, adding to the scrum and the line-out. So for Munster, I think, on their day, if they get it right, John Ryan, Stephen Archer, they've been great players. Niall Scannell is a good carrier, but they're still off the top teams and what their front rows and second rows are doing. So they're still a little bit off that, and that's a reality. So you have to find different ways then of attacking and getting the ball to your back line. But sometimes it comes down to...
Are they almost hamstrung before they begin unless they...
A little bit. You can't... New player? Yeah. There's no magic wand here, A lot of people are questioning why they signed Jenkins, the second row, stroke back row. We've been told he's going to play in the back row. They're not allowed to go out and sign a new tight head or a new hooker because they're Irish qualified players there. John Ryan, Stephen Archer are coming, towards the end of their career, And then you've got Kenyon Knox and Roman Salanoa, who are both Irish qualified as well. So if you bring in a tight head here and spend $400,000 or $500,000 a year on an international tight head to shore up or to improve a position, it's not going to be allowed. So they've got to work with what they have, and they've got to develop the two younger players to try and get them through and try and bring through more hookers. So it seems to be an area now that is of concern to Munster. But it's always been a challenge, Adrian, to bring through hookers and props. They don't just kind of fall off trees. It has to be a long-term development plan, and it's certainly an area where Munster, you know, when we played with John Hayes in Munster, if John Hayes didn't play or was injured for a period of time or out of the Irish team, there was a nervousness and a worry and a fear about the players who were below him because of what he was able to do around the field. So real pivotal positions, and Munster are a little bit short there in that international quality, and that's why Leinster are so good in that, and that's why they can play the game, because they balance and depth in so many different positions. So they're in a good place as regards their playing profile and players they have.
Yeah, it's definitely a reason that Hayes and Furlong more recently have been cited as been like some of the most important players in the Irish setup at the minute. Before we leave Leinster, we talk about the arm wrestle, two equally matched teams in a lot of different ways. Who's going to win the arm wrestle the weekend?
I think the concern is, and maybe it can work for and against, Leinster didn't play last weekend, so they're obviously going to be physically fresh. Maybe it was time for Leo Cullen's players just to re-energise. A lot of the guys, their players would have been involved in the internationals in a long Six Nations. So as long as they don't dwell on what happened between Leinster and Munster and expect it to happen, that's the only danger, is themselves really. And they've proven time and time again that psychologically they can get it right, emotionally they can get it right. And certainly Exeter being European champions and Premiership champions will focus the mind. So I think Exeter will be better. You know, they conceded two early tries last week, but then it was just brute force with their forwards. They just blew Leon away and scored 47 points and 7 tries in that game. So they're a very, very... And obviously they're champions now, and that gives an air of confidence to a team. So it's a very hard one to call, but I just fancy Leinster because of their overall... balance of their team. They're missing Ringrose and James Ryan, which is, they could be significant. They're two big losses. But I think they're good enough to get the job done and may do so. But don't be any bit surprised if Exeter win this game or go very, very close to beating Leinster, because it's a real serious challenge for them.
For sure. The one other rugby story from the week, Alan, that we haven't spoken to you yet because there was no Monday show this week, was the aspect of Munster potentially losing Stephen Larcombe, that there's a link to Australia, obviously, since Rob Penny's left the Waratahs. Is this something you'd be concerned about?
Yeah, I think, look, that's the last thing they need now is another unsettling situation in Munster after the disappointment of the last 2 weeks, because... I think they have made progress this year. Their attack has improved. They still have some way to go on that, the overall attack of the team. And I think it takes a little bit of time for coaches to implement change. And it would be a shame now if Stephen Larcombe went. It wouldn't surprise me if it happened, because obviously when you're a long way from home and you're on the other side of the world and you get linked with a job back in your home country, it's a big job. The Waratahs are a big franchise there, and if he's been linked with that job and it's true, I'm sure he'll have to consider it, and it would be a shame if he went at this stage.
Just to wrap up then, a couple of the other fixtures across the weekend, and it's quite the weekend of rugby. You've got Clermont against Toulouse on Sunday at 3 o'clock, Bordeaux against Racing on Sunday at 12:30, but tomorrow at 3 o'clock then La Rochelle against Sale. Do you see Ronan O'Gara getting his hands on another Heineken Cup?
It just depends what's happening in the semi-final. If they get there, it's an open draw. So home advantage and where those semi-finals are going to be is going to be significant for teams that in the last four. Sale are going to be a tough proposition tomorrow. I think they blew Scarlets away last week, and they have an edge to them and an aggressiveness to them and some really top quality players. So I don't think he's, well, I was talking to him during the week, he's not going to underestimate Sale in any way. That's a real test for him. And I think, you know, they showed last week against Gloucester that they love to play with pace and tempo, and their attack is very good, and they've some brilliant players. But getting a performance that's right and getting the mentality right is the challenge for them tomorrow against, I suppose, a little bit of an unknown entity in Sale. They are second, a third in the Premiership. And they've improved a lot in the last probably 2 to 3 years because they've signed a lot of top quality players. There's a lot of South Africans there. There's a real physical edge to them. So it's an interesting one and a tough challenge for Ron Nogara. I think if he can get the mentality of these players right this week, they should get to a semi-final, but it's not going to be easy. And as I said, you know, it's just about the draw and then the semi-finals, whether Leinster get there or La Rochelle or, you know, Mike Prendergast with Racing. It's, you'd be hoping for a favourable draw there, but the game I'm looking forward to is Sunday. Really, I think it just kind of whets the appetite. Clermont Toulouse, you know, that should be a real cracker. Clermont probably were lucky to get through against Wasps last weekend, and Toulouse showed their quality, so that'll be a really interesting one on Sunday. So there is other Irish involvement with Prendy and Rog, and obviously Leinster with that big challenge on Saturday evening.
Yeah, for sure. And Ulster obviously up against Northampton tomorrow evening as well. Alan, sorry, go for it, Adrian.
Sorry, just before we let you go, Quinny, what's the Munster view of your ascending order of teams you want to win this thing? Ronan O'Gara's La Rochelle, Mike Prendergast's Racing, all the French teams, Sale and Leinster, is that it?
And Leinster at the bottom, is it? No, you're not putting me on the spot now with that. Who do I want to win? The best team will win it, and Leinster are probably the best team. Obviously, Racing, I'd love to see Prendy do well with Racing and Rog with La Rochelle as well. But no, I'd be hoping that Leinster do well the whole thing.
Alan, thanks a million. Enjoy the weekend's rugby.
Sure, lads.
Alan Quinlan there on the line. It is 9:01 on this Friday morning.
The OTB Podcast Network with Green Farm on the go. Snack smart with 100% natural protein powered chicken bites.